Good morning. Sorry. My name is Sydney Allison, and I am a junior here at Upper Columbia Academy. How many of you have ever been involved in or know of Pathfinders? Awesome. Nice. How many of you have attended a certain event called Teen Pathfinder Mission Adventure? Once again, nice. Awesome. I have been going to TMA since I was 13. I've missed once, and I was in Guatemala building a church. So I kind of like going and building things and helping people like that. One of my favorite parts of TMA is I was always wanted to get put on the building teams, and I found that I really liked building. And the other nice thing about TMA is it's all in our local area. I mean, we've done them around Spokane. We've done them all over the place in our conference, which we sometimes think, oh, we have to go. I mean, we have groups that go to India. We have groups that go to Belize. We have groups that go to Guatemala, which is wonderful. We need to do that. But we need to also remember we have mission areas in our conference that we can help. We have churches that need our help in our own area. UCA can be a mission area. If you wake up every morning and you have the mindset that I am going to go out there and I am going to find someone that I'm going to help today, or I'm going to pray for someone, or I'm going to just keep my options open and help someone today, you are doing a mission. The thing about missions, there's so many different types of missions, we sometimes get stuck in a rut. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7 says, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." Then it goes on to list all these different spiritual gifts that we're all given. Well, like I said, for me personally, I get the most out of going somewhere and helping build a church or helping remodel something for someone. I don't mind getting up in front of people, but I do not like going door to door and knocking on doors. I'm sorry those of you who like doing that, but I just do not, I can't handle that. But there are some of you who would rather do that than go work on a building or work somewhere with physical labor, which... And so there's so many different ways we can be an outreach or have a ministry that there's endless options. Ellen White says in Ministry of Healing, page 470, "The strongest argument in favor of the gospel is a loving and lovable Christian." Right there, we don't have to do anything to have a ministry. Just being a Christian, letting God shine through us. I mean, the kids song, "This Little Light of Mine," it's literally, that's it. You are a light, and you can light up other people's lives by doing that. You don't have to, like I said, it's wonderful to go overseas. I got such a good experience out of going to Guatemala. I want to go back, and I want to go do other ones. And I'm almost 19, I'm not really involved with Pathfinders anymore, but I'm still going to go to every TMA that I can go to, because for one, that feeling of community and helping someone as a group, that is incredible in and of itself. But we all need to remember that each individually, we have our own mission fields that we can set up right in the boys' dorm and the girls' dorm. If you're a village student, just your friends that go to school, that go to in town, wherever, you can be a light, you can be a missionary in Spangle, Washington, or in Spokane, or wherever you're from. You can light that place up just by letting God's light shine through you. So this week, my grandpa's a pastor, and he always, one of his things is he always says, leave the group with something, with a challenge. So this week, I challenge you to become a light and be a missionary wherever you're at, in the moment, wherever you're at, to the people that are around you.
Good morning. My name is Brianna Daly, and I'm a junior here at UCA, and I'm from the Lewiston area. The phone rang, breaking the silence, As soon as I heard my dad's voice, I knew something was wrong. The usual teasing and joking that started our conversations was gone. His voice was full of emotion. "It's your mom. She's been in an accident." My life had been great up for the most part. I have three very active brothers, so my life is never boring or quiet. My parents both had jobs they loved. We had an active, amazing church. But then all of a sudden that changed. For the first time in my life, I saw my mother cry. The car accident ruptured a disc in her back, and she had to have major back surgery, which led to her getting on painkillers. The doctors told her it would be at least 2 years before she could go back to working or doing anything. My dad quit his job to take care of us and to help take over my mom's business. I didn't think things could get worse, but then our beloved pastor retired, and two of our best friends moved. There's many times in our life where things seem rough and the future seems bleak. In John 15:33, Jesus warns us, "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This world is full of horrible people and really depressing things, but there's good if you look for it. My mom never finished her degree. I kind of ruined that one. She had no idea what she was going to do now. And she had no idea where we were going to go. She ran her business out of our home, and she was going to have to retire. But then she got a call from my aunt saying, "Hey, guess what? There's a house for sale." All the way up in Idaho. And my mom's like, "You know what? Let's make an offer." And then they accepted it. Within 2 months, our house had sold. My parents had both gotten job offers, and my brothers and I had been enrolled in the local school. Things seemed great again. As I look back, I see that God was in control the whole time. I didn't need to worry or stress. According to Isaiah 65:24, it says, "Before you call, I will answer. While you are still speaking, I will hear." When the tragedies and hardships of life seem too overwhelming and there is no solution in sight, call out for help. God will be there to clean up the mess and restore peace. It won't be easy or quick, but when you call, He will answer. God knows when you need help, even before you do.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Terry. I'm a freshman at UCA. So I played baseball this summer, and we were coming towards the end of the season in the championship game, and our nerves were very high in this game, and we were very anxious. And it came down to the final inning where our team was ahead by 2 points, and we were still very anxious. So I had been put in the game at third base, and long story short, I could drone on for about 5 minutes on this specific topic, but long story short, I was so anxious that I misplayed a few balls that let the winning run score. So today I'm going to be talking about anxiousness and what kind of things that it can be affected by anxiousness. So I was looking online, and I found a long list, very long, about the physical effects of anxiousness. I'll read a few, but I won't read all of them. Nervousness, headaches, fatigue, muscle tension, short-term memory loss, and inability to concentrate, irritability, that sort of thing. But actually, anxiety gets a worse or not as bad as rap as it really is, because some anxiousness and anxiety can not be or is not that bad. For example, if you have a big test coming up, that anxiousness helps you study. Or if you are afraid that you're not going to make a sports team that you really want to get on, then that anxiousness will help you practice and get better. Now, if you'll turn with your Bibles to Matthew 6:25, I'm going to read what the Bible says about anxiousness. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, Is not life more than food, and the body not more than clothing? Excuse me. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like those in the... dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Anxiety is a problem because, for the most part, there are some anxiety that isn't that bad, but anxiety can become a problem because, for most of the time, it's you're over-anxious. But it can be avoided if you'll keep reading with me to 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And I have another verse that talks about that anxiety, which is Philippians 4:6. So if you'll turn with me there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So there are simple ways to be not anxious. Pray to God, tell him what you're going through, because he does care, and let him know. And seek him in everything you do, and that'll help you to not be very anxious.
Hello, everybody. My name is Keisa McCloskey, and I am from Brewster, Washington. And my story today is going to be based on trust. Who here has a difficult time trusting God? Yeah, I really have a difficult time sometimes. Sometimes you get really scared in life and trusting God is just hard. Sometimes you're really happy and nothing's going wrong, but still God doesn't seem to be there. Well, who here had a job this summer? Yeah, I had this amazing job working with His Travelers, which is basically a group of young people, just small group, about four girls this last summer. We worked with young people and we did vacation Bible schools for 8 weeks. And the main theme for these vacation Bible schools was trust God. And there was something that happened this summer that really tested what I believed in and really tested if I would do what I taught, if that makes sense. So it was about 7:30 in the morning. I got up and I was in Athena, Oregon, doing a vacation Bible school. And I looked out on the horizon and there was smoke. Now this isn't really an unusual sight. It's summertime, yeah, there's going to be smoke. So I didn't think anything of it. And so I went to work as usual and I got ready for vacation Bible school. I was all dressed up in this fun Bible costume. I was going to play like one of Moses' assistants or something, or a complainer. And I got a little bored. I was waiting for kids. They didn't show up yet. So I did what every girl would do, and I went on Facebook. And the first thing I saw when I looked at my phone was Carlton Complex Fire, Pateras, Washington. That's a town that's 6 miles away from my house. And I saw the sign burning in half. And that was a little freaky. It really scared me. And so I looked at more pictures, and it said Brewster was hit too. Uh-oh. Yeah, this kind of ruined my day. So I called everyone I knew. I called my mom. She didn't pick up. The phone line was dead. I tried calling my grandma. She couldn't pick up. Her phone was gone. And so I called my brother, older brother. He was in Camp Myvidon. And I asked him, hey, Mitchell, what's going on? And he said, there was a fire in our area, and it burned like half the town. And I said, what? How did it come? I didn't know about this. And he's like, well, weren't you watching the news? Well, no. But so this really ruined my day. I called everyone I knew. I figured out that my family had evacuated, and my house luckily survived, but it wasn't an easy thing. It wouldn't have survived if my parents hadn't been trapped inside of it and had to keep themselves alive and their house up so that they could survive. And my grandma was evacuated, and luckily her house survived. It was amazing. It was a miracle. The tar off the siding of her house actually like melted off, but her house didn't burn, while like 50 other houses burned in her area. So it was a miracle. But still, I was looking at pictures on the internet. I was looking at the war zone that used to be my home. And I cried, and I couldn't sing. I had to go to vacation Bible school, and my first thing was to sing. And I couldn't find a voice. There was nothing I wanted to do. I wanted to go home. I wanted to go to my family. I wanted to get away from there. But I couldn't. And when we got to the theme of the day, trust God, that hit me like a rock. I knew I wasn't trusting in God. I knew that I guess I did have something to be thankful for. And so I decided to give this to God. And my problems weren't immediately resolved. I still struggled with singing. I still struggled with everything. But still, I was able to get through the week. And God showed me that he still cares about me. And he still cares about everyone. And nobody died from the fire. Everything was okay. And there's nothing I could really do. So all I had to do was trust God and trust that he would save everyone. It was hard, yes, but I had a place in Oregon, and I had a job to complete, and it was for a reason. And I want to end with this verse, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Now, when I decided to trust God, I wasn't immediately given peace. But I learned through a little while, like after a couple days, that God could give me peace and I could get through this. So that's my talk. And see ya.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Roland Messenger. I'm a junior this year. And as a junior last year, I was a sophomore. And 2 years ago, I was a freshman. Yeah. And as a sophomore, did I say 2 years ago? As a sophomore, it was back when Pastor Fred taught sophomore Bible, and every year he did a special project called the Sanctuary Project. And in this project, we had to research a part of the sanctuary and then create something based on it. And so he told us a couple months before it was due, and I did my research. I found all sorts of things out about my topic. I put together the most beautiful report on my topic. Then I put the project on my shelf and left it. One home leaf came and went. We were supposed to go ask our parents for help and like say, hey, can I have some crafting materials to build this thing? But it came and it went. Another home leaf, it came and left without a single drop of me working on my project. Then suddenly, like a lion stalking its prey, the due date snuck up on me. Slowly, quietly, not very quietly, Pastor Fred did remind us about it every day. Then it came to the Sunday before the due date was. What did I have? Nothing but what any dorm student has. Stuff in my room, tissues. I had a jar that used to have applesauce in it. Thank you, ducats. And what did I not have? Time. And I rushed and I showed off my measly lighted glass jar with tissues in it and drawings on it. My classmates probably still remember how horrible it was. Then, then there are the little things like taking out the trash or leaving my dirty laundry on the floor until I no longer have any clean clothes. Such daily things are easy to forget. Have you put off such things? What if I told you that maybe, just maybe, you're putting off something very big every day? What if you are letting your relationship with God slip? Let me ask you something. If you don't give him time now, then when will you? At the beginning of this year, I put my Bible on my dresser, and I walked into my room, and I thought I should read that. So I went over, and I grabbed the Bible, and I looked through it. I found a verse that I really liked, and I would read it. Then I closed the Bible and put it back on the shelf. And then I did that at varying intervals throughout the week. The next week, I would walk into my room, see the Bible, and say, I should read that. I flipped open to a page and skimmed a chapter. The next week, I walked into my room, saw my Bible, said, I should read something, and then went and did homework. By the fourth week of school, I didn't even acknowledge that I had a Bible in my room. It didn't even cross my mind. If not now, when? When will we turn our thoughts towards God? I can guarantee that some, maybe most, maybe all of you will go from here today with nary a memory of something, anything said here. And even I will continue to joke with my friends, go through the motions, and play with the devil's toys. But I want to ask you this, if not now, when? I don't claim to speak up here with a clear conscience. I have made mistakes. I have addictions. I ask myself when, and I say tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll do this. Tomorrow I'll read my Bible. Tomorrow I'll do what I need to do. But tomorrow never comes. Or maybe I'll say, I'm going to change Monday. Monday I will make a change in my life and I will start following God. But every hour of every day until that time when I've made a commitment, the devil will tempt me again and again and again. Look at how fun sin is. Look at how fun it is to ignore God until I wipe it off my whiteboard of plans, that commitment that I made. You look at me and in your minds you're ridiculing the idea. You say, I've tried to change. I've tried making a difference in my life. And let me tell you, the temptations will never leave you. You will always remember the evils that you've thought and done. But look these things in the eye and remember that God still loves you. Face your temptations directly and your forgetfulness directly. Because as you ignore God's calling, it becomes progressively harder to hear it. Be the change is the cry that's echoed through our campus again and again and into our ears and into our thoughts this year. What changes have we seen? What changes have we envisioned? What changes have we actually made? I want you to see the difference, the vast chasm between what we could be as a church, as a people, as a school, and what we actually are. Do we really want to stay and wallow in the filth of complacency and procrastination? If we do not turn and make a change in ourselves today, then when will it happen? It will hurt. You will be alone. You may lose a few friends. You may lose all of your friends. But if your friends do not support you when you want to make good decisions in your life, then why do they have any influence in your life at all? There's another side to this coin. Everyone around you is struggling with many of the same struggles of procrastination that we have, we all have. And if someone around you tries to make a change, they're like, hey, my friend, I am trying to make a change in this part of my life, and I'm going to make a commitment to do it right now, then I think the greatest help that you can give them is to change with them. If they are making a change that's good for them and you haven't, why haven't you? If a friend of yours is making a change in their life, then praise the Lord and change with them. I think the greatest adversary to change is a friend who says, okay, that's cool, you're trying to stop cussing, and then cusses around you every day. Maybe I've been that adversary that says, okay, and then acts as if nothing ever happened. How many of us make a decision and then when the friends around us don't follow us, turn back from the plow? When someone tries to start a change, they're like a small piece of tinder. They burn up quickly and then grow cold. We must become more kindling and logs around them and start a blaze and a flame of change. If we don't support our friends now when they're trying to make something good happen, when will we support them? When they're trying to go down the wrong path? How long will we encourage our friends to stay stagnant? How long will we surround ourselves with friends who encourage us in the same? And if not now, then when?
Thank you to our speakers. Powerful stories that they have. And each one of us have a story to share and a story to tell. I know I have been encouraged. I've been touched by our student-led service. It's our prayer that you as well leave this place with a clearer picture of Jesus, a clearer idea of where you're headed in your relationship with Him, trusting in Him, Him giving you peace. A clearer picture of where you might be going in your service to Him, doing missions, helping out. That's what God has made us for, to glorify Him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we have listened to the experiences of our peers, we have recognized where you have been evident. They have been your mouthpiece today. And now may we go and be your hands and feet. We're thankful for this Sabbath that we can worship you. And we're thankful for the rest of the afternoon that we can rest in your peace. And guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.